Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thank you, Hannah. Oh, my word, that worship today was an experience. How many of you were blessed by the worship time? I felt like it was an entire message right there, and man, it was so powerful. And we are so glad to be with you today, Lee and I. And so I just wanted to share a few prophetic things. Lee's got something to share. And before we actually get into the Word of God today, I haven't actually been with Lee for about a year. He's the mayor of Beavertown, Pennsylvania. We had a chance to drive up yesterday through Ithaca, and I had an experience in Ithaca I wanted just to release to you before we started today. It's amazing what can happen at one stoplight if you're an Imaginist and if you're in the Holy Spirit. Coming up out of town, stopped at a stoplight right across from these student apartments, and the students are back, by the way. And whether you know it or not, Cornell is a bullseye for revival in this region. God's got it in his bullseye. And so I see a whole bunch of Asian students coming and crossing the road and milling around. And for that red light, I got called away in the spirit. And I saw the harvest. I saw it white on the harvest. And I began to pray the Lord of the harvest to come. And I was really moved in my heart. And I had this moment where I'm going to do this. I'm going to live on campus. I'm going to reach these students for Jesus. There's something very strong here. And I just got so excited about it. And then the light turned green again. And then I remembered, I'm married. I live in Harrisburg. And I can't do that. But there was something like, I really wanted to do that. Like, and let me just say this. There's somebody coming to this church in the next year, maybe the next 6 months, who is a student who's going to have a heart to reach that campus. And you're going to be able to feed. And the Lord said, but you're going to be able to feed into this person. And so there's a harvester coming for Ithaca. And so I think Hannah and Brian, you're all going to have a chance to sow into this revivalist that's coming. So Lord, we just pray him in or her in, whoever he is, she is. This harvester for Cornell is coming, coming, coming. And Lord, we just thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. So Lee, why don't you release what the Lord's given you this morning? This is the mayor of Beavertown, Pennsylvania, Lee Hollenbach.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back here. And woo, yes, it's awesome. I had a vision this morning, and I just want to share with you what he has showed me. He showed me a rock. And on this rock, your house is built on this rock. And within this rock, there was an explosion. And it was almost like water-type thing was coming out from this rock. And he showed me it was coming from this house. And what was in this explosion was your giftings, that your giftings are coming outside of you, and it's going to spread from this area because this house is powerful. This house has so many giftings that it's ready to be released. It's already within you. The things that you've been praying for, the things that you've been believing for, it's already inside of you, and it's coming out like an explosion. You can't stop it because it is such power that it's going to just be released. So it's this season, it's now, and get ready because it's very powerful. Woo, what you guys have to offer is amazing, that it's going to change this area.
I'm telling you, he really gets stuff from the Lord. You can bank on that word, I'm telling you. Oh my goodness. I heard the word destiny this morning in worship, and that's what I'm preaching on today. You are destined to win. How many of you know that? That's your destiny because you're hooked to Jesus Christ. And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. An amazing, amazing verse. But I do want to say there's blueprints that have already been planned out for your lives, and they will come to pass. And you don't have to be perfect for them to come to pass. because Jesus is in charge of the whole thing. He's not depending on whether you have a good or bad day, or whether you think you messed up, or you feel like it, or you're not good enough, or you're not qualified. The Lord qualifies us. And I just wanted to give these blueprint words for Hannah, who just disappeared, and I'm going to just say to Tom and Elizabeth, but you've dreamed dreams for this region, and your eyes are going to see those dreams come true. You know, it doesn't matter how you've planned it out, but I just got a similar word about Maine. Chuck Pierce said to me, the things you've dreamed for Maine, your eyes are going to see those things. So the dreams you've dreamed for Ithaca, you're going to see them, Tom and Elizabeth. So, wow, because there's an acceleration. We are at an amazing time of history. And in particular, I believe September, things are going to break. Are you believing for a breakthrough? Anybody here, breakthrough in any region of your life? Well, come on. Let's believe for September for that thing to happen. I've had some things for 10 years, and in September, they're happening. So it's like, I believe it's like a breakthrough year. I've been working on a book. It's called Now is the Time. It's about the Third Great Awakening, and it's coming out in September. The Lord said, get it done by Rosh Hashanah. Get it out by Rosh Hashanah, because something is tilting. This awakening is tilting in September. So get ready for breakthrough. Get ready for a tipping point. The next 6 months, your life is going to be different than it is right now. There's a lot of momentum that's happening in our lives. And I guess I'll give that word to Hannah when she comes back. It's probably better. There she is. Well, you guys are amazing. But this spring, this last 6 months, there's been trials. There's been stuff you've been through. There's been, you know, has anybody had a trial in the last 6 months? I don't know. I had a new knee put in, and that was a three-month trial for me. But I learned a lot through it, and I learned to depend upon the Holy Spirit more. That's a good thing if you have to depend on the Holy Spirit more, because we all need that more. But let me just say this, that you and Brian, tomorrow when you take off, or today, take off from Newark, right, and you're headed for California. When you're in California, get ready, because there's a banner of blueprints going to be rolled out over both of you, and there's going to be more detail, and there's going to be something that's going to click in your spirit, and you're going to know what to do, and there's going to be breakthrough of revelation, and you're going to be inspired for the next thing. So, yay, amen. I think we have to be expectant, you know, for that breakthrough. Because it doesn't come the way we always think it's going to. You know, like Abraham and Sarah, they knew they were going to have, they had 25 years of waiting for a kid. You know, and now it doesn't look good. You know, he's 100, she's 90. And so then literally when God shows up and says, it's time, it's going to happen, they both laughed. That's how much faith they had about it. Like, ah, you know, sometimes it's been so long looking for your breakthrough that when God finally starts to move, you start laughing like, no, you got to be kidding. I gave up on that one. But I'm just saying, don't give up on it. As a matter of fact, when God showed up to Abraham and told him, he did believe it. And so the next time when the three angels came and showed up at the tent, he was at the front of the tent at the threshold expecting it to happen. Because now he really believed it, but now Sarah didn't believe it, and she laughed. But then it happened. And so we're at that moment, I believe, in history where we're going to see the greatest move of God we've ever seen. And we've talked about it for so long, we're saying, really? Well, really, I'm just saying really. We're at that moment in history. And so, you know, it's going to happen. So Ephesians 2:10, we have become, and this is in the Passion Translation, we've become his poetry. We are his song. We are his creative song today. A recreated people that will, just say will fulfill the destiny he has given all of us. Because of our own abilities? No. It tells us in here, it's because we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. If you're joined to Jesus, we can't lose. Just say that right now. We can't lose because we're joined to Jesus. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. So God has a beautiful plan in detail woven out for our life, and there's no surprises to him. There is nothing that of our own weakness or whatever that is a surprise to God as far as doing our destiny. So this is so important to remember when our circumstances don't seem to line up with the prophetic words that we've got. Hello? It's at those times you really need to remember God has a wonderful plan for my life and nothing can bypass that. And especially realizing that God has not forgotten those things. He hasn't forgotten those promises. And he is rolling out a blueprint for our life. But we do have to remind ourselves from time to time that that is true and that he has a destiny for us. This happened to me in March. March was a bad month for me. Went through some stuff. Lost my front teeth. You know, my crown fell out. My surgery got canceled. Bunch of stuff was happening. It was just one of those. Anybody had like a bad week, bad month? So anyway, it's at those times that God just steps in at the right time when you really, really, really need it. And that happened to me on March 24th. It changed my life. God can change your life in one day. He can just step in and shift your whole thinking. Like Hannah says, I have a burden for the 13 colonies from Maine to Florida to see a move of God. And there's so many people who are getting that same word right now. And so I went to a 13 colony meeting with Chuck Pierce in Trenton, New Jersey on March 24th. And it was amazing because they had just put gatherings were legal again in New Jersey the week before. So now, finally, after 2 years, we can gather together. And it was almost like the tribes were coming back together again, you know? It's like two years ago, everything stopped, and now we're regathering the army, you know, of God. And we're down at the meeting, and the worship was amazing. And Chuck Pierce got up, and he said, the 13 colonies have come back together again. And he said, in this worship today, I saw a banner rolled out over us, the meaning of beginning again. So we're beginning again to move forward in this revival, in this move of God. But what really shocked me is the next thing he said, and Rich Brink, you're here tonight, and I saw the banner over you. He said, what you need to do is go back 2 years and see what you were warring for, what you were believing for. And look at that and see now how God's going to move you forward. Well, I was kind of blown away with that. So I went back to my journal 2 years ago, and exactly 2 years ago, I had gotten another prophetic word, and guess what it was? It was from Keith Ferranti from California, and he said, I see a banner rolled out over you of the next 15 years of your destiny that God is putting together to move you forward into it. Well, I was kind of amazed by that whole thing. But I believe it was a word for all of you and for the body of Christ. You are now moving forward again. And the blueprint is rolling over your life for the details of your destiny, of your calling. And it hasn't been stopped or sidetracked because of the last 2 years. As a matter of fact, that last 2 years has made you bolder. It's made you stronger. It's given you more persistence. And now you are actually more ready to move into your destiny. Amen. Just give the Lord a hand. I believe that is a word of the Lord for you guys. This whole idea of God mapping out your destiny before you were born is actually scriptural. God is that big, and he's outside of time, and he actually knew you even in your mother's womb, which is kind of a good case for pro-life. In Isaiah 49:1, he said about Jeremiah, I called you from the womb to fulfill my design purpose. Wow, that's pretty cool. Jeremiah, God said, before I formed you in the womb, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Your calling was designed before you were born. And he already put giftings in you and talents and knew where you were going to be before you were born. That's a pretty amazing thing. I'm convinced of this. You know one reason I'm convinced of it is because, you know, God, Chuck Pierce said, I've called you to the 13 colonies to do strategies and prayer. And then the next year I moved on Colonial Road in Harrisburg. But even more, I know it's God because there's a Dunkin' Donuts, a ice cream place, and a Sheetz right by my house. So I know God plans out every detail of our life. He knows what color your eyes are going to be, your fingerprints, everything that you were born to do. Isn't that good? And Paul the Apostle said, I was called from my birth to be an apostle for God. So let's look at the word destiny. What does that word actually mean? In the Greek, the word destiny means to mark out of our horizon ahead of time. It actually comes from the word prothesis. A thesis is something written out, and pro is before. So your destiny to have victory was written out ahead of time before you were born, and so that you can actually see over the horizon. This is pretty cool. This is one reason Columbus came to America, is that he had a telescope, and in Spain one day, he was looking out over the coast and over the water, and he saw the top of a sail. And then he saw the whole sail, and then he saw the ship. He actually was seeing over the horizon and said, the earth is round, because the curvature calls you to see the sail first. That gave him faith to actually go out and go, you know, around the world. And so he was actually using faith in the way of seeing his destiny beforehand. His destiny was actually, he actually believed that he was going to go find a new world, win the heathen, and Jesus was going to come back again. That was his motivation for why he did that. And so I think that's a cool idea for what we have. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, I just want to read something there real quick. Abraham had faith to go over the horizon before he could actually see it. And God is calling us right now to just believe him and to go for the words that he's telling us to do before we can understand it all. And that's what faith is all about. In Hebrews 11, I'm looking over in verse 8 in the Passion Translation, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar. Uh-oh, that's kind of a requirement, leaving the familiar. If you want something new, something greater, to be stretched in these things, you've actually got to leave the familiar. And that can be scary. Let me just say this, that God's destiny for your life is scary. That's how we know it's God. Because if it's just something you're familiar with, then it has to do with your own ideas. If it's something bigger than life, bigger than your imagination, it's God. Everything that he's ever spoken to me has been a little scary, that I couldn't really understand, you know. But you know it's God, because it only takes God to be able to pull it off, right? And there's actually a book about this called Run to the Roar. And it's about embracing lions. Lions are scary, but yet they are, you know, they actually represent, you know, Jesus, the Lion of Judah, who he is amazing. He's an amazing Lord, and he is victorious in everything he does. So it says that Abraham left the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise without even knowing where he was going. You ever felt like that before? Do you know where you're going? Not totally, but if you get a word from God, that's good enough. That is enough. That is Jireh. And it says over in verse 13, that these heroes saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. So if you have a word from God, you can embrace it, even though you're not there yet. You can embrace it, you can love it, and you can believe in it, even though your brain can't figure out what in the world it is. The words for thrive here, you've had some amazing words. Wow. And you can embrace them, you can believe them, but there are times when you need to have that blueprint rolled out, at least the next step. And you're going to get some this next week. And who could have ever dreamed, you know, where it ends up? Nations. There's going to be many nations here. You already have nations, but there's going to be many more nations. And, wow, it's like counting the stars. I forgot what counting the stars was like until last night when I went outside the house. Because in Harrisburg, you can't see any stars hardly. But here, you can see all kinds of stars. So start counting the stars. These are nations. These are people in the harvest that are coming in. What is the main qualification of a harvester? Is that your heart is moved for people. That's the main qualification. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. If we start seeing people like that, sheep without a shepherd, our hearts are moved, and then they'll hear what we have to say. Jesus. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Bring them in from the north, south, east, west, in between. Whoa. So this is very much like running a race. Let's go to chapter 12 of Hebrews. Your destiny is like running a race that has already been marked out for you. Yeah. And to agree with the cloud of witnesses. Verse 1, as for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. You know, there have been people 200 years ago in the Second Great Awakening in this area that have already prayed for this region, that have already prayed for revival. They've already prayed for you, and they're still praying with you. Yeah, the cloud. I was talking to the Lord one time about somebody had just passed away, and I was thinking to myself, well, man, they're dead. I'm alive, which there is truth to that because, you know, a dead lion is still not as useful as a live dog. That is a proverb. You know, this one guy was thinking about all these great men of God that had gone on before him, and he felt like a dog. And the Lord said to him, yes, they're lions, but they're dead. But you're a dog, but you're alive. You can do stuff. You got time. You got energy. So, yeah, there's truth to that. But the truth of the matter is, I was saying, these great men have gone and they're dead. And the Lord said, actually, they're more alive than you are. That's a good word. Saints that are dead are actually more alive than we are right now. So we just need to join in and get on their life and join with them in their prayers for Ithaca right now. I was looking over the map this morning. There's a Moravia close by here. What's that about? Like, the Moravians were like the most revivalists in history. We got to find out what that's about. I did find out that the Whig Party lived there. And there's a president of the United States that lived there, right? And there's something to that. There's some kind of well there. Artesian well, like Lee was talking about. Well springing up. We're looking for all the revival wells, redigging those wells, and they're coming back to life. Yay. Thank you, Lord. So these witnesses are praying with us right now. They're basically saying you're on the 5-yard line. Push it over the touchdown line. Push it over. This is time. And so we have to run the race, our destiny. And to do that, sometimes you've got to work through defeat. You got to work through those bad days. You got to work through those times when you don't feel like a winner. Anybody have a day when you don't feel like a winner? Well, it says this is what you must do. You must let go of every wound that has pierced us, which means like there's darts of the enemy that have come to us, and we got to pull those darts out. Wait, there's sometimes, and we dealt with it this morning. I mean, there was so much in what you guys did this morning Because unforgiveness, resentfulness, bitterness is an arrow that you have to pull out because it poisons us. Anything of the past that keeps us held from going into our destiny is an arrow that we have to pull out. Jesus helps us to do that. Only with Jesus can we forgive and have love towards our enemies and all that. But he helps us to do that so that we can run the race. It also says, and the sin that easily entangles us. So yeah, there's schemes. How many of you know that the devil has schemes and tricks that he tries to trip us up with? And so we have to take authority over those schemes. Because the blood of Jesus is enough. It takes care of everything. Jireh is enough. In fact, I love that word, that song, Jireh. Elevation Worship. Anybody ever been into that song? Fall in love with that song? You can't stop singing that song. You just keep, in fact, the song itself keeps going on for like 10, 20 minutes. And actually, you could actually sing that song for an hour. Like, it's just so good. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I can imagine. And that is enough. Can I just say that again? Just pour this into yourself. Just say to yourself right now, I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved. More than I could imagine, and that is enough. Whoa. That, you could chew on that just for the whole day. Because if Jesus loves you, what else matters? If he's for you, who can be against you? Come on. If you have Jesus side by side with you, there's no demon in hell, there's no disease in hell, there's nothing that can stop you from getting to your finish line. Because you're going to run it with Jesus. If you try to run it alone, you won't make it. But it says that you can run the race with passion and determination because the path has already been marked out before us. You know, whatever race that we've all run, none of us run the same race. We have our own race to run. We can't try to be like anybody else. We have a unique destiny. But that this has already been marked out ahead of us. It's been appointed for us. It's been ordained. That's a word, ordained. We think of ordained as just pastors or whatever, but we've all been ordained to run a race and win. You've already been chosen, appointed, ordained, predestined, you could call it, to win your race. Wow. And that is enough. That's enough for us to know. I love this Proverbs 4:17 because it really says it all, and I've already mentioned here at the church, but religion tells you that if you run really hard, give all you can get, then you'll eventually get the prize and somehow make it in. But that's not grace. Grace is God's ability. See, we're not talking about running the race with our ability. We're talking about grace, which runs it with God's ability. Come on. And really, in Proverbs 4:17, it actually says, and God puts a victory crown on your head ahead of time, the crown of grace, so that you can win the race. He gives you the victory crown ahead of time. He's already won. He said to you, you've already won. And because of that crown of grace, now you are inspired to actually win it and run it out. Isn't that good? Just give the Lord a hand because you've already won. He's already given you the crown of grace. Woo! And again, the reason that we are sure of our destiny is because of our union in Christ. Let's go back to the original verse we had, Ephesians 2:10. And we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to do some special things after here. Whoa. Through our union with Christ, thank you, Lord, We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he's given to all of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. That's my point. If we're joined to Jesus, how can we lose? You know, the word Nazarene actually means the victorious one. So if we have the Nazarene, then we are joined to the victorious one. So just raise your hand and say, I am a winner in Jesus. I'm going to run the race, and I'm going to win because I'm running with Jesus. And he had a plan for me before I was born to win and not lose and to change my world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you today because the victory is ours in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the destiny over each one of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we all have different hardships we've been through, different trials that we've had to navigate, but God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that plan that you had for our life in 2020, it's not only the same today, but it's unfolding over us. There's a banner today unfolding over each one here with more details for September. There's going to be September surprises, September breakthroughs, September tipping points for everyone in here, if they expect it, if they believe it, if they step into it. Lord, I declare right now that September will be one of the greatest breakthrough months in your life, in Jesus' name, that something's going to change, something's going to shift. There's going to be momentum in your life. And God, we're expectant today. We thank you for that today. I declare tipping points over this region, over Thrive, over each one here in the mighty name of Jesus, because you are victorious in Jesus' name. Give Jesus a hand today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.